Discord.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm Monica Lovell in the driver's seat. My beautiful sister is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Dwight Shepherd. Again, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm still blessed.
You're still blessed?
Glad to be here. Yeah, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength.
And yes.
You know, so there you go.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can post it in the comments, or you can send it in a private message through our Facebook page. We do record in two parts, and we'll get that posted shortly after the program has ended. We do not have a sponsor for today, so we have an open sponsorship available. If you would like to sponsor Hour of Power for Wednesdays, please contact us through our email at hourofpower32@gmail.com. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that posted shortly after the program has ended.
And if maybe someone doesn't want to sponsor, but they like to give a one-time gift of help, you didn't ask me to say that. Neva didn't ask me to say that. But I just feel prompted to say that, you know, that this ministry can be supported if you just want to give once. That's fine, too, right?
Yes. And please remember to like, share, and comment so that we know you're tuned in this morning. Okay.
All right.
Would you pray to start us out?
I think we probably better, hadn't we? We've had equipment failures. It was the equipment over there in that chair. I have to give you a hard time. It's all good. It's all good. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. We're thankful to you, Father God, that you love us. And you didn't say you loved us because we qualified for it. You didn't say, Lord God, you loved us because we deserved it. Father, even as you spoke to the children of Israel, Lord God, in your word, you said to them, I did not call you because you were qualified, because you were the biggest nation. I called you to myself because I love you. And Father, we're thankful for that. We're thankful today that we can come in here, and because of the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we can gather together as believers in you. We can open your word, and your Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into truth. And I pray, Lord, for a revelation word today. I pray, God, that someone who's listening to this, whether they're listening live right now or later, would hear that word in season that they need to hear today to bring them encouragement and help and hope and strength so that your will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray over our nation, Lord God. So many critical things going on in our nation. We pray for those that are in leadership, those that are in powerful positions of influence. We pray, Lord God, for every citizen, Lord God, that our prayers would be powerful and effective over this nation, Father. And we entrust it, we entrust ourselves, and we entrust this time to you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. I like your title.
Yeah.
Under His Wings.
Under His Wings. Somebody said, well, I didn't know God had wings. You know, well, it's kind of metaphorically speaking, I believe. I don't think, I don't picture God having wings per se, but maybe He does. Maybe He doesn't. But the scripture's really clear about how this metaphor, Jesus used it in Matthew's gospel as he came into Jerusalem on the final week, what we call the Passion Week. He was on the hill overlooking Jerusalem before he crossed the Kidron Valley and came into the, you know, the triumphal procession. And he began to just cry out and he said, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I've longed to gather you under my wings as a mother chicken gathers her chicks under her wings. And it reminds me of a testimony that I heard one time. I believe it to be completely true. Not too far from where my parents live over there northeast of Arapahoe and There was a tornado that hit up by Custer City here in western Oklahoma. It's not a huge tornado, but any tornado is big enough to do damage if you get a direct hit. And there was a man I knew that had a farm up there by Custer City and took a direct hit. And he had a chicken yard, and many of his chickens were killed. But out there gathering up the dead chickens, he picks up this dead chicken. And as he picks up this dead chicken to throw it, you know, away, get rid of it, underneath that chicken's wings, there were chicks still alive. And that mom chicken had, those chicks had instinctively got up under their wings of their mom. And that's where they were. That hen had guarded those chicks. Under the shelter of her wings, they found a refuge from a storm. And Jesus used that same kind of reference talking about to the city of Jerusalem. And when he was talking about Jerusalem, he's not talking about the buildings. Of course, he's talking about the people. And he's saying, I longed many times to just gather you to myself and hold you so close that under my protection, nothing would harm you or hurt you. And so it's a powerful picture of protection. And when I say the word protection, and I've got Bible on my mind, well, anytime I say the word protection, I got Bible on my mind. If a tornado comes near my house, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to think on, meditate on, and begin to apply what we're going to study today here in Psalms 91. So if you got your Bible, Psalms 91, if you got a notebook, Monica's over here writing down notes. Like, is she going to go back there and take those notes later? I mean, because the Holy Spirit's going to say something to you today. I believe that, or I wouldn't have had to come here. He's going to say something to you today that you need. And if you don't need it right this minute, you're going to need it in the future. And if you don't need it for your personal well-being, you're going to need it to share it with somebody who is going to need it for their personal well-being. Because I don't know of a time in the history of the world when we've ever needed God and God's Word more than we do now. And that's a good place to say amen. But you know what? I believe we're blessed. God chose us to live in this time, in this day and age. And yes, we face things that people in the past didn't face. But at the same time, we face things today with an anointing that our grandparents didn't have. I'm not saying we have the Holy Spirit. They didn't. We all have the Holy Spirit. But the way the Holy Spirit moves through His bride, through the body of Christ, is just powerful, powerful right now. So we're glad to be here and glad to be alive. Let's go to Psalm 91. We'll start in verse 1, and I'm going to just read it straight through, which is 16 verses, and then we're going to go back and talk about different parts of it. I'm going to try not to preach as I go through there or teach as I go through there. Just, I want it to all come together, and then we'll go back. So put your eyes on the Word with me if you can. And no matter what translation you're reading, it's good. I'm going to read from the NIV, and I may quote some King James along the way. But he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence or disease. He will cover you with His feathers, and here's the title, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or a plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You need to get that one. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. What's the first word of verse 9? If you make the Most High your dwelling, then even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your dwelling place, your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will tread upon the great lion and the serpent. Not talking about literal lions and literal snakes. Talking about spiritual things. Verse 14, because He loves me, or because they love me, says the Lord, I will rescue him or them. I'll protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Man, there's so much good stuff there. I mean, there are a lot of places in the Bible. It's like, if I could only take one page out of the whole Bible, and that's all I could ever look at again, it just very well might be this page. I mean, now I'd want, because I'm not going to forget why these promises are mine. These promises in Psalms 91 belong to us as believers in the Lord, because only through Christ Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, who loved us so much, who came to this earth and laid his life down willingly, dying on a cross, allowed himself to be buried in a tomb, and rose from the third day, on the third day, just like he said he would, ascended to heaven, poured out his blood on the mercy seat in heaven, obtained for us eternal redemption. Our sins have been forgiven, and Jesus sat at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. I know I said a lot, but if you don't believe all that stuff, if you don't know all that I just said, you don't have a foundation to build this house on. And what happens if you build a house without a foundation? Well, no matter whether you build it with or without a foundation, storms are coming, floods are coming, winds are coming. You know why I'm saying that, right? You probably remember Jesus saying, let me tell you what it's like. If someone hears my words and they obey them and they practice what I say and they live by what I say, they're like a wise man that builds his house on a rock. But if someone hears my words and they don't put them into practice, they kind of let it go in one ear and out the other. Or maybe they take it and leave it. They live it for a little bit, and then they put it on a shelf until crisis comes. You know, foxhole faith, crisis Christianity. Jesus said, if you're like that, if you don't live by the word, you're like a man who builds his house on the sand. And then he mentions that both houses, both built on the rock and the sand, the doers of the word and those who ignore the word, are all going to face storms. He said, then the storm come, the wind blew, and the rain falls, and it beats against the house, and the one without a foundation, he says, and it falls with a great fall. In other words, complete, total collapse. You look around you today. Look around and remember the people that you've known in your life. Look at people's lives who totally imploded, collapsed, just, you know. I could describe how it collapsed, but I'm not going to, because, I mean, you can use your own experience for that. But I can think of numerous people that I've known throughout my life, especially these last 30 years in ministry, of watching people's lives and doing everything in my power that I can to influence them to take God's word and live by God's word and know God's word. And I'm going to be honest with you, I've been struggling for at least the last 6 months, especially because there's such a burden of urgency in my spirit for God's people. God's people must know his word. You must know what the word says. You must get it in your heart so that you can live by it and live in it. And there's no room for compromise. You know, there's a saying that says this. It says, if you keep on doing what you've always done, you probably know this one, you'll keep getting what you've always got, right? Here's what the Lord told me about that. He said, that's how it used to be. He said, but here's how it is now. If you keep on doing the things you used to do, the world has changed so much, and there's so much spiritual warfare going on. The kingdom of darkness, his time is short. The devil is angry because he knows his time is short. And if you keep doing what you've been doing, if what you've been doing is compromising, if you keep doing that, you're not even going to get what you were getting. It's just flat out not going to work anymore. And so we've got to be a people who absolutely, absolutely get committed to knowing what God's word says. And listen, I would love to be able to just, you know, hey, email us today and we're going to download the word of God into your spirit. But it doesn't work that way. You have to put it in. You have to put it in. You have to take the time to put it in. And because we put it in, here's why it's so important. You put this word in, you know what's going to come out when you need it? The word. If you're carrying a cup And that cup is full of good things. When something comes up against that cup, it hits it. What comes out of the cup is what's in the cup. You ever notice that there are people, a lot of people, who profess Christ, and if a situation comes up that this sucker punches them or something, the thing that comes out of them is not the word. Well, it ain't God's words. There's words come out, all right. I've heard it. I've had people apologize to me for in my prayer. Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. It's like, well, here's the deal, being perfectly honest. I mean, none of us are perfect. If we were, we wouldn't need a Savior, right? So, you know, there are times where we all stumble or falter or fall. I'm not saying that we don't. But here's the deal. If you put the word in and 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 live by the word, and the word is your life, then when something happens, you just say, come and the word's going to come out of you. So a tornado comes, let's say, hypothetically, a big storm, a plague, a calamity, a this or that. If you've got this word right here that we read so deep in your spirit that it's what comes out of your cup when your cup get bumped, you're not going to be terrified. Literally, let's go back and look at this verse by verse. Verse 1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide or rest in the shadow of the Almighty. King James says, he who abides in the secret place. A secret place. It's not a common place. It's not where everybody lives automatically. I hope you believe that God loves everybody, because he does. But the truth is, not everybody loves God. And here's what Jesus said to his own disciples. He said, if you love me, I asked our church to finish that verse last Sunday. I said, Jesus said, if you love me, come on, help me out, finish that verse. And 90% of the people cannot finish that verse. That's just terrible. If you love me, how about this? Obey my commands. Jesus said that. So in essence, if you take that and you say this, he says, if you love me, obey my commands. If you don't love me, don't worry about it. And most people, honestly, a lot of people go around like this. I love the Lord, not obeying his commands. Or at least not obeying the ones they don't want to obey. If it's easy for me to obey, oh, yeah, I'm submitted to that. Yeah, that's about like, you know, hey, I'm hungry and you got my favorite food ready. You know what? I'm going to submit to eating that. Did you get that? But what about when you don't want to do something? What about when you don't feel like it? What about when it doesn't suit your fancy? Do you still obey what God says? If so, then you're living an abiding life. You're abiding in the shadow. You're staying near to God. And the most precious thing in your life is not, here in America, I've got to say this, is not money. How many people do you know that sell themselves literally into slavery over money? You say, what do you mean? I don't know. Slavery is illegal. Is it? Is it really? If you choose to work so much that you don't have time to worship God or have time with your family for the sake of money, is that not just about equal with slavery? Even though you're the one choosing it. You say, I don't have any choice. I have to have this job. Do you? What scripture is that based on? What scripture is that based on? Well, if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. I agree 100%. We've got to be doing something. Question is, do you got to be doing that? If that doesn't agree with God's will and plan in your life, if that comes between you and God, why are you doing it? Pastor Love's here today. Exactly. Because, listen, God loves you, and I love you, and he sent me to speak truth. He didn't send me. Did you hear that? He didn't send me to sugarcoat your donuts and keep you unhealthy. He's coming for a bride that has made herself ready. Revelation 19 says his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her fine linen to wear, but she got to make herself ready. God is not going to come down and just make you ready. He didn't make you receive Christ if you have received Christ. He didn't make you do that. And once you have received Christ, he doesn't make you live a saved, set-apart lifestyle. We have to choose it, just like we had to choose Christ. I don't know about you, but before I chose Christ, there was quite a few opportunities to choose him, and I didn't take them. I did things my way. I kicked that can further down the road and thought, you know, I'll deal with that later. Right now, I want to do what I want to do. And what did it get me? Well, it got me to a place where I finally became so broken and so miserable, and I've told this many times, that I literally didn't want to wake up again. And so three separate times in my life, I had a weapon in my hand, seriously considering ending my life. But God led me to the place where instead of taking my life, I gave my life. If you're hurting today and you feel hopeless and you feel ashamed, and if you're listening to the lies of the devil like I did back then and say, you know what, your family would be better off without you, the world would be better off without you, look at yourself, blah, 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 blah. Stop listening to that voice and say, you know what, admit it, I failed, and my life not what I want it to be. So, Lord Jesus, help me, and I promise you this, he will help you. He will help you. By all means, give your life. Don't take it. Amen? So bring your life and live it. And I mean live it constantly. As if you're trying to be so close to God that when someone looks at you, they can't tell whether it's you or him they're seeing. That's what we want to be like. We want to literally abide under his shadow. My hand on this paper on this table, you know, it's right here. The light's right here. Where Renee's over there running the camera. She's not under the shadow. Monica's right there quite a bit closer, but still not under the shadow. To be under the shadow, you got to be really close. And so that's what he's saying. He who lives, abides, dwells, takes up residence, makes it their life in the shadow, in the shelter of the Most High God or the secret place, they will literally be so close to God, they'll be under his shadow. And then watch this. Verse 2. The psalmist wrote this. He said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress and my God in whom I trust. Though the economy goes bad, he goes, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Oh, have you heard about the virus X? If you haven't heard of that one, that's the next one they're cooking up to send your way. If you haven't heard about that, who cares? Who cares? Sure in the WHO. That who don't care. But I'm like this. Does anything that man does, anything they can conjure up or cook up or send our way, does it change God's promises? And the answer is no. God knew that we, especially as I believe, end of the end time believers. He said, when's the end coming? Soon. Jesus said 2,000 years ago, he's coming soon. So I believe him. Now, soon in our time and soon in his is obviously two different things. Is he coming in our lifetime? Very possibly. What difference does it really make? You know, I don't even care to know. I don't even want to know. If the Lord offered to tell me when he's coming, he's not going to, by the way, because he said in his word, no one's going to know the day or the hour. But he did say this. He said, you, to his children of the believers, he said, you're not children of the night, that are children of darkness, that day would overtake you like a thief in the night. So what's that mean? You know, blind people, I'm not meaning this to be harmful to anyone, but the reality of it is if you were so visually impaired that you cannot see at all, if lightning flashed, you would be completely unaware that it's about to thunder. But if you can see the lightning, you know the thunder's coming. Doesn't surprise you a bit. And Jesus said when he comes, what did he say he'd be like? Like lightning. in the realm of the spirit, Jesus coming is going to be like lightning. In other words, there's going to be a flash in the realm of the spirit. Everyone with eyes to see is going to see it and know that his coming is literally at hand. And I don't know when it's going to flash. I don't know when he's coming, but I know this. The best way to live anyway, even if he's told us in his word, I'm not coming for another million years. Still, the best way to live is to live your life under the shadow of his wing, in his presence, abiding in him. You've probably done it both ways. I hope you've experienced living under the presence of God. And I hope if you have, that you never forget what it was like out there. Never let yourself forget where you've come from. Don't let it define you. Your past is past. But never forget where you come from. Never forget what it's like to be apart from the shelter of the Most High God. Because you remember, it's cold, it's lonely, it's confusing, it's painful, it's there's nothing good about it. He said, yeah, some people talk about their sin life as if it was one long party of fun, fun, fun. And then you think about that and you go, really? If it was all that great, why did you ever give your life to Jesus? And then they start actually thinking about where they've come from, and they go, it wasn't that great, was it? No, it wasn't. Every time you got out of your mind, whether it's by this substance, that substance, or whatever it is, there was a price to be paid, and you paid it. Whether you were hugging the toilet, whether you looked up and your rent money was gone, whether you looked around and all your friends had abandoned you because you sucked all the life out of the relationships you had. Hey, I'm speaking truth. That's what it's like apart from God. But in God, when we come under the shadow of his wings, he begins to restore. If Satan destroyed our finances through our own ignorant, sinful living like the prodigal son, God is able to bring us home and he's able to begin to restore our lives. That don't mean he just hands it to us all at once, because we've got to be retrained. We've got to have our mind transformed to live a godly life. But God will restore to us. God will heal us. He is a redeemer, but that redemption takes place under the shadow of his wings. Not visiting him once in a while when I have a crisis. That's not how it works. You're all in, or truthfully, you're all out. You may kid yourself that you're in too. I mean, I'm not all in. I'm not one of them Jesus freaks. I mean, I ain't read my Bible every day. I don't go to church like hardly ever, but I certainly don't give God a tithe of my income, but I don't believe I need to. Well, you disagree with God, and I'm going to guess he's right and you're not. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You say, well, I don't think I need to go all the time. Well, you're disagreeing with God, and I'm thinking he's right, guess what, and you're not. Well, going to church don't save you. Oh, I agree with you 100%. But since you're saved, why don't you want to go? There's a better question, isn't it? Since you're the bride of Christ, you're the born-again, blood-bought child of the living God, what in the world would keep you away from God's house, worshiping with God's people, enjoying God's presence, being part of God's family and ministry team? See, it's not always about going because you need to receive. Maybe you need to go because someone else needs to see you there. Maybe you need to go because you're there and Holy Spirit moves on your heart just to go over to someone and give them a hug, or just tell them, hey, I just feel prompted to tell you today, I'm so thankful for you, or God loves you, or whatever it is. It's, yeah, but the preacher didn't tell everybody. He can pat them on the back, or, you know, the whoever, they can do that. Nobody even cares if I'm here. Have you ever heard that lie? That's a lie. But here's what the psalmist said. He said, I'm going to say of the Lord, you're my refuge, Lord. You're my fortress. You're my God in whom I trust. And I'm going to say it with my words. And then how many of you know what speaks louder than words? Your actions. And he said, I'm going to say it with my actions, but I'm going to say it nonetheless. And, you know, we walked in there. I wasn't the first one in the room, but I bet this room was dark when someone came in here this morning. And I can see the little light switch over there. And it's just as simple as this. If you want light, you flip the switch. If you want to abide, if you want to live the life that God intended, the life of blessing and favor and freedom and goodness, then where do you find that? Right there under the shadow of the Most High. Living in a right relationship with Him. You say, well, Pastor, I mean, something's kind of crept in on me here. Praise God. He provided forgiveness. And it's not a one-time deal. Aren't you glad? I'm glad. Oh, I'm glad. Forgiveness is an anytime you need it thing. If you need it every day, He's got it. If you need it multiple times a day, He's got it. The truth of the matter is, the more you retrain yourself to live in the presence of God, honestly, I'm being honest, the less and less and less you find yourself needing forgiveness. Doesn't mean you outgrow forgiveness. I've never met anyone that's outgrown forgiveness. But the truth is if you've made mistakes, God wants to forgive you. He wants to love you back into His fellowship. He misses you. And so if you've made a mistake today, just ask Him to forgive you and then get right back in there in His presence. Amen.
Amen. Wouldn't now be a good time for some prayer requests?